Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Family comedies are in vogue at ABC. Modern Family has been joined by The Goldbergs, The Middle, Blackish, and Fresh Off the Boat. Now comes The Real O'Neill, starring Martha Plimpton and kicking off with 2 episodes next Wednesday night. Executive producers David Windsor and Casey Johnson joining me next in an internet radio exclusive. Last Friday, we had a news note on All Nations Network, a new channel showcasing Native Americans. Coming up, we'll explore this venture in depth and live with organizers Sky Bridges and Smoke Signals director Chris Heyer. Also ahead, our first Classic Trivia Champ of the Year, the champion of college basketball television remembered, and our show to know spotlights Hate in America next Monday night on ID. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you today by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. You can get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Thank you for spending Sunday or Friday afternoon with us, 37 degrees at the top of the hour in New York, and we welcome you back to the program All About Television. The wonderful guests coming your way over the next 90 minutes, and we invite you, as always, to be part of the conversation. It's so simple to converse, just give us a call, and here's the number you use anytime, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anyway. You'll catch us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. Another way you're involved is our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Rick Webb, our good friend from Philadelphia, already in the room, so join him and get your thoughts in there. And while the room is on the air, you can connect with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. And now joining us live from Los Angeles in an internet radio exclusive, the executive producers of ABC's new comedy, The Real O'Neill, premiering next Wednesday night at 8:30 and 9:30 Eastern Pacific Time, David Windsor and Casey Johnson. David and Casey, welcome aboard.
Thanks so much,
Simon.
We appreciate it.
Pleasure to have you. Casey, we'll start with you. You're joining a very interesting set of company at ABC, a number of family sitcoms that all have their big uniqueness, whether it's Modern Family or Fresh Off the Boat, Blackish, which had a marvelous episode on police brutality last Wednesday night. Is there any pressure in terms of trying to match up to that level of quality or that kind of quirkiness?
I think certainly, you know, we want to match that level of quality and measure of uniqueness. And I think that's really what brought David and I to the project initially. We really wanted to give this our character, Kenny O'Neill, who's 16 and in the closet. He's really the voice of our show. He has the voiceover. And we really wanted to bring his story to network television. We feel in the way those other shows have told family stories, but with a point of view that hasn't been shared before, we felt like in this type of show, we haven't gotten to see Kenny O'Neill and his voice and his story told through this family. So that's really, really how we feel like it fits in with those other great ABC comedies.
Mm-hmm. David, what about that voice makes your show unique?
Well, you know, we're pretty sure there's never been a broadcast sitcom, at least, with a teenage kid coming out of the closet. And for us, that really was like one of the important things for us, having the opportunity to tell that story of, you know, a lot of kids that are out there in the country right now that are sort of struggling with how to do that with their family. And, you know, a lot of their families are not as open to it. And so we were excited to share his story and what we think are a lot of other kids' stories and maybe try to, help them sort of have that dialogue with their families.
And I just wanted to add, too, you know, sometimes tackling these tough issues through comedy is a real way to reach people, and that was part of our game plan.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if both of you saw American Crime on ABC last Wednesday, right after that Blackish episode of police brutality, but I thought it was utterly incredible that John Ridley and his people were able to mix the plot with real interviews with real people, some of whom had dealt with this issue of coming out and how the coming out was treated. They had a mother of a gay teenager who committed suicide. They had another teenager who came out, contemplated suicide and decided at the last minute, no, I've got to keep on living. I don't know if you saw that episode, but I thought it was very extraordinary that you're doing things in a comedic way, and here is what American Crime is doing, dealing with this issue of bullying and gender preference and gender identity in such a compelling way.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I didn't see that episode, but it's even in the last 5 years, the fact that we can do our show, that they can do that on television. I mean, you know, the gay cause has changed so much so quickly in such a positive way that we're really, you know, it's exciting to be a part of that. I mean, we wrote a pilot a number of years ago that was actually based on my life. I have a gay father and his now husband. And even 5 years ago, I think it was a little bit too risky maybe for the network. And now here we are doing a show where one of the components is a gay teenager coming out. I mean, it's just, I'm glad that we're all able to tell those stories because it's what's happening in the world right now.
Incidentally, I want to give credit to the two people responsible for that episode on ABC Wednesday night, Keith Huff, the writer, and Kimberly Pierce, the director of Boys Don't Cry, the landmark film that Hilary Swank won the first of her two Oscars for, in a very rare directing episode for television. But, Casey, what's interesting also about your series is that it's not just about one person coming out. It's about every member of that family that you showcase coming out in one way, where Martha Plimpton and the person that plays her husband say, we're about to get a divorce. And then there's another character we'll get to later that also has a secret to come out. It's like a bunch of dominoes that are all falling at the same time.
Yeah, that was the thematic that we were working with, that particularly for the O'Neills, they were this seemingly perfect Irish Catholic family, but no one's perfect. You know, we all try to present this image of ourselves on Facebook and Instagram that we've got our lives all together. But we were interested in how we really are. You know, the minute you close the door, what really happens in a family. And, you know, assembling stories from our lives and from our writer's room, there's so much of how we really are. And we didn't want to make it just about Kenny. We wanted Kenny to kind of be the catalyst that let the rest of this family also be who they are. And you're right, it is everyone's kind of coming of age, no matter what age you are. That's kind of the idea behind this series, and to pull back the curtain on how families really are. And I think people in screenings for the press and for friends we've shown this to, they really respond to that. It's almost a relief to see people on TV being who they really are and being messy and complicated and not perfect, and then that's how the family is at its best.
Mm-hmm. David, was that the premise all along, or did you and Casey and your fellow writers and producers have to reach that conclusion that this is the way we're going to go with this program?
No, from the very beginning, we saw this as an opportunity and luckily got a lot of support from the network and studio to really examine those messy, screwed up parts of all of our lives. I mean, you know, we're doing a comedy. And so for us, the best comedy comes out of the worst moments in your life. And so luckily we formed a staff of writers that weren't afraid to, you know, share all that stuff and let us exploit all of those, you know, screwed up moments in our lives. I mean, we've all got them. There's no single person in the world that has a perfect life. And a lot of that stuff, if it's done the right way, can be really, really funny. And so, you know, from the very beginning, we thought, like, if we're going to do this, you know, we want to sort of mine all of that gold and not make it soft and really just examine those moments.
I will say that what interested us most was Kenny's story, and during the development process, we kept unearthing the other characters more and more, and we're really pleased that we did, because it also brought, as you said, Martha Plimpton as Eileen and Jay Ferguson as Pat, who are really interesting and tremendous actors, and it's not just a kid's show, it's a family show, and everyone holds their own weight, and all of these actors are terrific.
The Real El Neos is going to premiere next Wednesday night in a very unusual way on ABC. Rather than do back-to-back episodes, two of them, half hours, they're going to do one episode at 8:30, then Modern Family comes on with its latest episode, and then a second Real El Neos at 9:30 Eastern Pacific Time. We're speaking with the executive producers of the program. They also wrote the first episode, David Windsor and Casey Johnson. They're joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. Simon Appleman, I'm joining you from the other coast, New York, on this Friday afternoon. Happy you're with us in 2016 here on Blog Talk Radio. You have a question or a comment for our guest, you give us a ring, and the number you use is 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name, Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, in the room. Coming up Monday on our program, we will have the two people responsible for Sundance TV's first new scripted series of this year. It premieres next Wednesday night. It's called Hap and Leonard. Think of it as Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, classic and sinister film noir style. Jim Mickey and Nick DiMicci will join us. They're our lead guests. And also, we'll feature former SportsCenter anchor Dan Devenham. He's got his own TV production company now. And his latest effort is a new series premiering this weekend on Brigham Young University, BYU TV. It's called Relative Race. Think of it as The Amazing Race meets Genealogy. That's Dan Devenham from Relative Race and Jim Mickey and Nick DiMicci from Happen Late on Sundance TV. They're with us Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. You mentioned earlier that it took you did like a pilot of an unusual show 5 years ago. How long did it take to get this from idea to ABC?
The Real O'Neills you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, we went through the typical development cycle last year. I think the studio, we started talking about it probably in about May and went through a few incarnations. Casey, you mentioned that initially we really loved the idea of this teenager coming out and sort of this coming of age story for him. But we, as we developed it through May, June, and the rest of last summer, it became much broader than that. And then, we wrote it, I think, in the fall and then turned it in around Christmas time like everyone does. So it was part of the mix. And what was exciting for us is it was the first or the second pilot picked up last season. And we were sort of off to the races. That was like in January. And we just went rushing ahead with it. We were lucky enough to get Martha to part of it right away, and our in-house director and executive producer Todd Holland was a part of it from once we got picked up, and our producing partner Stacey Traub did it with us. So we just we went through the normal typical development cycle with her.
But what was interesting about it was we got Martha Flinton, Jay Ferguson, B.B. Wood, and Matt Shively. We had our family, but we didn't have our Kenny yet. And so we had this terrific family, and we needed our kid. And Noah Galvin, who is just terrific and has been on Broadway since he was 13 years old, has not done any television. And we flew him out from New York, and it was one of those magical things where he walked in the room, and 2 minutes in, we knew we had our Kenny. And it was very exciting and also a relief, because it's hard when you have that fantastic family and you're missing one crucial element. So it really came together in an instant then.
What makes him the ideal Kenny, especially someone who had never done TV before?
He is, first of all, he's really, really smart. He's just a smart, intuitive actor. He's also gay, so he was able to bring his own personal experience to this. I mean, I think, Casey mentioned the minute he walked in, we sort of knew, he was asking sort of all the right questions about this character and what this experience was like. I mean, I think for Noah, coming out was different than it was for Kenny, because he was in New York, he was in the theater. I think it was a little bit, I don't want to say easier, but maybe a little more simple. But he understood what that meant in a way. Neither Casey or I are gay, and so it was really helpful for him to bring his own experience to it.
Mm-hmm. So I worked with Martha Plimpton. I just saw her breakthrough performance in Running on Empty. I saw when it was in the theaters. And it just returned as part of 31 Days of Oscar and Turner Classic Movies. Wonderful performance with the late River Phoenix. and Judd Hirsch and Christine Lottie, wonderful cast up and down the line. Of course, we remember her also from Raising Hope, which had a good four-year season run on Fox. How is her character here different from what she did with Raising Hope, and has she referred to her previous efforts with comedy and with something like Running on Empty in terms of formulating her character?
Well, I think Martha said herself that her character of Eileen is most comfortable in her face, and I think that's how Martha built this character from Eileen's firm roots in her Catholic upbringing. Even though, as in the pilot, you see she got pregnant out of wedlock, so she has her own conflicted relationship with her upbringing that we explore later. But I think that's the big difference. And she so loves her family and is so worried about Kenny at the same time. She's able to play that duality of what my son is doing is wrong. That's what I've been taught and that's what I believe. And I worry for his soul. I mean, truly, the character does. But also this complete flip side of I love my son fiercely and I would do anything to defend him. And it's a lot to ask of an actress, and also to be funny while you're doing that. And Martha is just, she's so good that she can do all of that at the same time and make it look easy. So we felt incredibly lucky to get her.
David, I noticed that in the promos and part of the pilot I saw that there's a lot of ensemble work, not just ensemble with the family, but you have the family going out to different places, and, like, everybody gets caught up in, like, a dance number or some sort of, like, special ceremony of some sort. Was that something that sort of came out naturally in putting the program together, or just, everyone came up with, like, let's have this family show up here and demonstrate their Irish Catholicness and their idyllic lifestyle to some extent, and then, of course, everything breaks loose in song and dance?
You know, when we were making a comedy, we thought, like, what? We have this ability to sort of do whatever it is we want, and all the fantasies and the dancing and all that sort of stuff came out. You know, Kenny doesn't really have anyone to talk about his situation with. I mean, he's in the closet, and it was a little bit of a challenge at first. Like, how do we sort of help him tell that story when he can't tell it to anyone? And so we realized that using those fantasies were a really good device and a really fun way to do that. I mean, in the cold open for the pilot, you know, he's having breakfast with his parents and he leans over and Jesus is sitting there with him. And then at another point in the second episode, he's trying to figure out what's going to happen the day after he's come out to everyone. And suddenly Jimmy Kimmel is there. And these were just really, like, fun devices for us to mine comedy and help him tell his story.
That's nice energy to have Jimmy Kimmel step into prime time for late night.
Yeah, it was really exciting. We had worked with him on something earlier on, and he emailed us saying if I can ever return the favor. And so we emailed him saying, like, we're calling in the favor, and he was, I think within minutes, he emailed back saying, just tell me where and I'll show up. And it was great. I mean, he was fantastic. He was really, really fun.
Casey Johnson and David Windsor are the creators, not the creators, but they are the developers and executive producers of The Real O'Neills, ABC's new family comedy that premieres next Wednesday, March 2nd, 8:30 and 9:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. It's not back-to-back episodes. It's 8:30 Pacific and Eastern, then Modern Family's latest episode, then another Real O'Neills at 9:30. David and Casey join us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum here with you on Blog Talk Radio live from New York, 37 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy to have you with us for a special 90-minute edition. If you have a question or comment for David and Casey, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. A week from today on the program, we have another 90-minute edition for you, and it's a big one. We have one of the key executive producers, a guiding force behind both The Shield and The Walking Dead. Glenn Mazzella is with us. His latest program is Damien. It's the spinoff of the famous iconic movie series The Omen, and it premieres a week from Monday on A&E, paired with Bates Motel. Glenn Mazzella is our lead guest a week from today on our our program. Also, we'll have the person that brought Narcos to life on Netflix last year. He's now doing ABC's new Google drama of Kings and Prophets. Chris Brancato was on with us last summer for Narcos. He's with us again next Friday. And then we'll talk about where this TV season has gone so far in 2016 with Scott Meslow. He is the entertainment editor of The Week magazine and TheWeek.com. And we may even get a few Oscars on TV thoughts as well. It's all coming up on a special 90-minute star show 1 week from today, March 4th, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And, David, in case you have a call, we're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Rick, good to hear you. On the line with David and Casey. Go for it.
Hey, guys. I was raised Irish Catholic, so I went to Catholic school and all that. And I had a project once. It was just a commercial, but it was squashed because of, like, a Catholic backlash against it, which was kind of incorrect. And it even made it on the Colbert Report and, like, Fox News and stuff like that. So I'm wondering, how did you guys overcome some of that initial backlash last year about the show? And I know a lot of signatures were signed and stuff like that. And to get the show on the air, and it seems like all that died off successfully.
Thanks for your question. I think what was really important is that we had the support of the network behind us. You know, I think people were really nervous when they first heard about this show. I think people were worried that it was going to be anti-Catholic, and some people were writing letters to Disney about it. And kind of the entire time, we felt like, let's just let everybody see the show. You know, this is a real family. They go to church. It's important to them. It's something that binds them together. But these are real issues they're dealing with in their family, like a lot of families are. And our point of view was always like, well, let's tell these stories. These are real stories. Not everyone's going to be accepting of gay people. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about why. Let's see what that looks like. And I think a credit to the studio and network, they just always really had our backs on that and said, no, tell the story. This is a real family, and that's what we want to put on our network, real families. And I do think once people get to see the show, they'll see, oh, they're not bashing the church. They're telling a story about a family.
It's also the church is very important to them, and we think it's, you know, it's very faith affirming to us. I mean, we tried to represent all sides of this, and I think we did that successfully. And again, all that stuff came out before anyone had read or seen anything. So I think people will be pleased with that.
Cool. Well, I'm glad they weren't able to squash it, and wishing you guys success.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thanks, Simon. Have a great weekend.
You are very welcome, Rick. Thanks for the question. Take care. Have a great weekend. Rick Webber, good friend from Philadelphia, here live on Tomorrow Be Televised. One of the other characters in this family also has a coming out, the coming out of dealing with an eating disorder, something like anorexia nervosa or bulimia. And I've read some of the Facebook reactions so far to the program, pre-first episode, and there are some people who are very sensitive about the issue. It is a tough issue for people to deal with, whether they are dealing with themselves or they know someone who is. Have you gotten feedback about that, about like how you treat this character, and what did you go through, both of you go through, in terms of how you portray someone who is dealing with such an issue that can be very touchy for people?
Yeah, we certainly, you know, never mean to offend anyone. I think with Jimmy, we were coming at it very much from his wrestling point of view, and that's something we explore later in the series, all the pressure he feels to be this wrestler and be great in his dad's eyes, and it's something about his character. So that's really where it came from with Jimmy. And really, in the next couple of episodes, we dispense with it fairly quickly. It's not something that we're going to keep going forward with in series and making fun of in any way. So it was Jimmy's secret to share in the pilot. But I think beyond episode two, then we're kind of past that and moving on with his character.
Mm-hmm. David, I noticed in the episode, there's a bit of a matter-of-factor feeling the way that this family comes out with these secrets. There's one scene, for example, where there's someplace and a window opens up, blinds open up, this person is like hearing this family quarrel, and one of the members of the family says, oh, well, you know, our parents are being divorced, you know, one of our sons is gay, another son has eating disorder, da-da-da. And the reaction from this woman is, oh, well, do you want me to not, like, open the door kind of thing? It's very interesting how part of the humor comes from how matter-of-fact, how just open, once these secrets come out, they're just open to anybody who they want, and some of the fun comes from the reaction, not from the family, but the reaction that other people have when they hear the news.
Yeah, well, you know, for us, I mean, we were trying to figure out what is the most, for this perfect family that's sort of spent their lives trying to figure out how to make everyone think that they've done everything right, what is the complete opposite of that for comedy? And, you know, for us, that was the most public way that you could out yourself for all of these things. And, you know, the church is a big part of their lives, and they're at a church bingo event that Martha Plimpton's character has put on. And so if they sort of reveal all of these things in what they think is a private way, and it ends up being very public, like, it's a very funny moment for us, and awkward and tense, and, you know, we just love the idea of mining the comedy for that.
But I will say, in writing it and breaking the episode, you know, that had always been a thing we were building to. And when you have that much coming out in a moment, I would be lying if I said I wasn't nervous that it might not work, you know, that it wouldn't feel real and wouldn't feel true. And I was really grateful the day we got into that kitchen set and saw them rehearse. And it really plays well. You get comedy, you get drama, you get comedy again. It was a tricky scene to write, though. So we were relieved when we felt like it really played well.
Let's, by the way, also give props to two other people, Josh Stern and Jennifer Ventimiglia. They not only co-wrote the first script with you, but they also came up with the story. How did they come up with it? How did they deal with this?
They wrote a script. This whole project started when Dan Savage made a deal with ABC Studios to develop a project based on his experience growing up in an Irish Catholic family, being a closeted gay kid with a cop dad and a very religious mom. So they took a stab at writing a script that didn't move forward, didn't move beyond the script stage. So then David and I came in and worked with Dan Savage and the studio to come up with our take on it. And our take was, you know, very Kenny focused, single camera with his voiceover and the fantasies. We just felt like that was the most effective way to tell this story, the most effective way to get into the Kenny character and mine all that comedy.
The Real O'Neills, it gets underway next Wednesday night, March 2nd on ABC, with 2 half-hour episodes, 70 back-to-back, 8:30 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and Pacific as well, with Modern Family sandwiched in the middle. And then it will move to its regular time period the following Tuesday, March 8th, right after Fresh Off the Boat, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Check the local listings for the agency station in your area. For more details about the program online, you go to abc.com. David Windsor, Casey Johnson, developers, executive producers of The Real O'Neills, thank you both again for joining us. Congratulations on getting the series off the ground. Hopefully a wonderful, wonderful run. Check it out. I think you'll find it fun family television, and hopefully it will be another example of the family that ABC is making with family comedies.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Donna. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, David and Casey. Have a great, great weekend. Take care.
You too.
You too.
David Windsor, Casey Johnson of The Real O'Neills, joining us live from Los Angeles. When we come back, our climate trivia question of the week, some thoughts about a champion of college basketball. You wouldn't be seeing March Madness without this person. And we'll have our show to know, a very special about hate in America, premiering next Monday on Investigation Discovery. We'll get to all of that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, home of the best internet radio on the planet. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month. and growing. It's your home for Ring Rust Radio. Get all the details about WWE, other wrestling leagues, all over the place on Ring Rust Radio. Catch it every Tuesday, various times, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, you can catch the best of BTR 24/7 at iTunes.com and check out Blog Talk Radio's podcast on Apple TV 2.0 through the brand new iTunes podcast app. Now you can hear and watch Blog Talk Radio on Apple TV 2.0. Welcome back to the Robbie Televised on this Friday afternoon of 2016, February. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Happy to have you with us. Broadcast coming your way near the top of the hour, and we invite you to stick around, be part of the program. If you have a question or comment, just give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. That's over at blogtalkradio.com. Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, still in the room. We expected to bring you a wonderful surprise this half hour, a guest who many are calling one of the best directors right now in episodic television. He's Anthony Hemingway. He is the acclaimed director of American Crime Story, The People vs. O.J. Simpson, running Tuesday nights at 10 on FX. He is also the first director and the executive producer of Underground, the Underground Railroad drama coming to WGN America on March 9th, on Wednesday, also at that 10 p.m. hour. Underground, by the way, was presented at the White House earlier this week. We had planned to have Anthony on the show with us this half hour. Unfortunately, about 2.5 hours ago, we learned his production schedule had changed and he would not be able to be with us today. We apologize for that. We are rescheduling him. We hope to have him on in early March, and we will let you know when we get him on. In the meantime, you can catch The People vs. O.J. Simpson, the first season of American Crime Story, episode 5, coming your way. It's called The Race Card. It's coming your way next Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Pacific time on FX. And he also, of course, involved with Underground, and that premieres on WGN America on Wednesday, March 9th, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. Check your local news, both FX and WGN America are available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details online about both programs, for American Crime Story, www.fxnetworks.com, and for Underground, www.wgnamerica.com. Again, we are sorry that Anthony could not be with us today, but we will have him on a future episode. He has definitely agreed to do that, and we're rescheduling him right now. And now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week feature, and I'm thrilled to tell you that for the first time in this year, we've been waiting nearly 2 months for it, but we finally have a winner. And our first winner of the year is Frank D'Onofrio of Cunawingo, Maryland. And he got the answer to the question we posed on Monday. And that question was, complete this famous Hill Street Blues catchphrase. And hey, the answer, and I'll try to do my best Michael Conrad on it, let's be careful out there. That's the completion of that Hill Street Blues catchphrase. And Frank D'Onofrio of Cunawingo, Maryland is our winner. And he chose one of two books that we're offering this week, and it is The X-Files FAQ. It's the book based on the famous series from the Flawless Theater and Cinema Books. It features a foreword by the creator of The X-Files himself, Chris Carter. And it's all that's left to know about global conspiracy, aliens, Lazarus species, and Monster Week, written by John Kenneth Muir. Congratulations, Frank. Applause is sending the book out to you now, so you should get it soon. And we thank you for playing. Incidentally, a few hours before Frank got his answer, we heard from somebody on Facebook who also posted an answer, and guess what? It was one word off. One word was missing, and so that person did not win. But we thank that person for playing, and try again next week, along with all of you. So again, thank you to Frank D'Onofrio of Cunawingo, Maryland. He's getting the X-Files FAQ, one of two books we offered this week. And we will have another classic trivia question. We're going to go for two on our next program on Monday. The way the feature works is this. We pose the question. If you know the answer, two ways to respond. Email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you are from. That means your mailing address. You can also use Twitter for your answer. Hashtag TWBT. That's Twitter, hashtag TWBT. Remember, that hashtag is made available by the wonderful people at Hopscotch. The folks invite all of you to create your own social soundtrack. Visit them at Hopscotch. Thank you to Marty Monaco and the whole gang there for making that Twitter option possible. And if you missed the question on Monday, don't worry. We'll repeat it on my Facebook page and my own Twitter hashtag on Tuesday morning. That's UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, you got to be in and win it. So do that starting on Monday, and all the very best. Coming up next, we will have a comment about somebody who made college basketball happen, and why you are watching March Madness next month the way you are. And we'll also have our show to know this week. It's Hate in America, coming Monday night to Investigation Discovery. And coming up near the top of the hour, we'll go live to Winnipeg, Canada, and we will speak with the organizer of a new effort to have more programming for Native Americans in the United States. It's called All Nations Network. We also hope to have with us live from New Mexico the famed director of Smoke Signals, Chris Iyer, who will also be involved in this enterprise. But before we get to all of that, let's give you some thoughts from the wonderful people who sponsor our show, Audible.com. It's the Amazon audiobook division, and they are a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. And anytime you check out Audible, there's over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at this URL, audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of their service. So you can check out titles like Down Abbey. Some of their episodes are available in audiobook form, and general thoughts about the show also available as well. And if you're a fan of classic British comedy, how about Yes Minister or Yes Prime Minister? And you can also catch the best of Saturday Night Live comedy as well, and some of its stars, like former stars like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. And if you're a fan of Charlie Rose's wonderful interviews nightly on Channel 13 here in New York, public television, PBS nationwide, or Bloomberg Television weeknights, you can check out the best of Charlie Rose interviews through Audible and a special 30-day trial. Remember, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service. All you got to do, sign up right here, audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. And one more thing, because audible.com is an Amazon company, you know the customer service is going to be top-notch all the way through. audibletrial.com/televised. Check out audible.com, an Amazon company. It's great listening, great inspiration, entertainment, and information all available for you anytime. You know, we're about ready to mark March Madness, and a lot of people will be watching the latest NCAA men's and, yes, women's college basketball tournament. The finals for the first time this year will be carried in their entirety on cable through the tournament networks of TBS and TNT. Both the national semifinals and, for the first time ever in the history of television, the championship game will not be on CBS. Of course, True TV and CBS will carry the preliminary games, first round, second round, regional semifinals, and finals. If you want to know why March Madness is the phenomenon it is, I suggest you take a look at the career of one man, a man by the name of Eddie Einhorn. Some people know Einhorn as the former owner of the Chicago White Sox. But in the mid-1960s, Einhorn broke into television with his own enterprise called TBS, a television network that was one of the first to nationally syndicate sports events on television stations across the country. And one of the things he did was put together college basketball packages of various conferences on Saturday afternoon, the so-called Game of the Week idea, whether it was the former East Coast Athletic Conference, ECAC here in New York, or the Southern Conference, the Pac-10, etc. In 1968, Einhorn and TBS made television history. They decided to put college basketball on the map in prime time, not on a television network, but by their own hookup of syndicated television stations. The game was sometimes called the game of the century. UCLA, led by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, that time Lew Alcindor, and Houston, led by Alvin Hayes, with Dick Enberg making his national TV debut calling play-by-play. It was definitely a game for the ages. At that time, it was the highest-rated primetime sports event not carried on a television network, and it put TBS and college basketball on the map. That association continued to the 1970s. When NBC picked up rights to the final games of the NCAA college basketball tournament, and it would carry some of the preliminary games on Saturday or Sunday afternoons, TBS kept their association on, specifically by carrying the regional semifinals on a national syndicated hookup in prime time, both on Thursday and Friday nights. They continued to do that through the mid-1970s, when NBC and TBS collaborated on the NCAA basketball on a regular basis, and NBC took the package over, later be taken over in the 80s by CBS. By that time, Einhorn had left TBS, was on his own in various sports enterprises. At one point, he was the executive producer of the weekend CBS Sports Spectacular, one of the longest-running series in sports television history. But he always kept up a thought of, even in his work with the Chicago White Sox, he always kept up his association with television in some way. In fact, if you watch MLB Network, you can catch every year the annual National Youth Baseball Championships. That was created by Einhorn. I'm telling you all this and asking you to remember Mr. Einhorn during this March Madness and consider his contribution to why you're watching what you do, the way you do, because earlier this week, and we found out about it yesterday, Einhorn passed away at the age of 80. He had 80 wonderful years on planet Earth, and he made a huge difference in television and in sports simultaneously. So when you watch March Madness, consider that if it wasn't for Eddie Einhorn, if it wasn't for TBS, and for his gamble to stake his reputation on carrying a major game in prime time without help of ABC, CBS, or NBC, all broadcast stations lined up one by one, you probably would not see college basketball the way you do today. You would not only see the NCAA tournament the way it is, but ESPN Championship Week, the women's basketball tournament, which will be in its entirety on ESPN and various networks. All that wouldn't happen if Eddie Einhorn made the big leap first with TBS into college basketball. And when you do consider that, please remember him in his memory and all of our memory, because Eddie Einhorn was one very special person. And now it's time for our regular feature, A Show to Know, where we highlight a program that we think is worth your watching. And you might not know about it because it's not well promoted or marketed or publicized, or it falls under the radar screen of TV critics and journalists who follow the media. Over the last few years, Investigation Discovery has marked Black History Month with a series of specials noting the efforts to deal with civil rights cases, some of which are still not solved. The series was called The Injustice Files, and it was done by a talented filmmaker named Keith Beauchamp, who has had this program several times. Beauchamp is currently trying to raise crowdfunding support for a movie on the life of Emmett Till and his murder and what happened afterward. Last year, the tradition of Black History Month continued on ID with a special called Hate in America, hosted and put together by Tony Harris, the former CNN anchor who now is one of the anchors on Al Jazeera America. It was all about dealing with hate crimes of one kind or another, involving, in many cases, the famed Southern Poverty Law Center. A screening of that program was held a year ago at the Paley Center for Media here in New York, and the response was so dynamite that Henry Schleif, the head overseer of Investigation Discovery, another Discovery Network, said, well, with his team, let's turn Hate in America from a special into a series of specials. And Monday night, that will happen. The first of a series of at least four or five specials will take place next Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on Investigation Discovery. That's 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. And once again, the series will focus on different hate crimes, one involving the Ku Klux Klan, others involving white supremacists, others involving solo hate artists, the so-called solo bad guys, including, by the way, the person that shot all those people at that church in South Carolina. That is, by the way, a focus of an extraordinary episode that you have to see to believe. I had the chance to see a screening again at the Paley Center last night. Tony Harris hosted an extraordinary panel. I wish you all could have been there. It was an amazing event. Not just have some of the Southern Poverty Law Centers there who are highlighting the program, but also some of the people who lived the situation. Indeed, the first situation that's on Hate in America is called the Klan on Trial, and it involves a court case involving Michael Donald. He was lynched as a young man in the early 1980s by members of the Ku Klux Klan. And it was that case that got the Law Center, headed by the legendary founder Morrissey, who is still alive and still pursuing justice in civil rights cases, to take the unusual step of taking the Ku Klux Klan, known as the United Klans of America, to court for the very first time. The program, called The Klan on Trial, deals with it, and it deals with it very powerfully, including recreating the crime. And a member of Donald's family was at the event last night, and when he saw it, it was amazing what his reaction was. A lot of things bubbled up for him. You could see in his face, you know, the audience eyes don't lie. He's still dealing with it. He is dealing with it powerfully, and it's tough for him to deal with it and relive what happened to a member of his family. It's an extraordinary story. Harris reports it powerfully, and I think you will come away, yes, you'll come away angry, but you'll also come away inspired by the human spirit that flows as a result of what happens. The Klan on Trial is the first episode of Hate in America. Another one called Wrong Rules, which deals with some of the solo gum I just mentioned, that will be taking place in June of this year, followed by other specials coming this summer and fall. They are all meticulously documented, and they're all put together by NBC News' Peacock Productions unit. Again, the first episode of the new series of Hate in America specials, The Klan on Trial, premieres this Monday night, February 29th, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, on Investigation Discovery. This is one of those situations where I invite you, if you can, please watch. I think you'll be moved beyond belief, and ultimately you'll be inspired beyond belief at how people deal with their fellow men and women in a very powerful manner. The Klan on Trial, Monday, February 29th, that's our show to know, the premiere of Hate in America, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on Investigation Discovery. Check your local for where that program is available in your area, on cable and satellite. And for more details about the program online, here's where you go, investigationdiscovery.com. That's Investigation Discovery, or www.investigationdiscovery.com. This is Tomorrow We Televise. We are the program all about the tube. We're with you Mondays and Fridays. This program, we got a great one for you. We have Jim Mickey and Nick Dimitri. They are the developers and executive producers of Sundance TV's first new scripted series of this year, Hap and Leonard. Consider it a very crime-gnarly style, a lot of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, only very, very noir. Terrific cast and great duo in charge, Jim Mickey and Nick Dimitri. They're joining us as our lead guest on Monday. We'll also talk to former ESPN Sports Center anchor Dan Devenhead. What's he doing these days? He runs his own TV production company. And his latest project premieres this weekend on BYU TV, Brigham University Television, the only college university that runs its own national television network. Available about 60 million households on cable and satellite. The program is called Relative Race. Think of it as The Amazing Race, Nick's genealogy right in. Dan Devenham and Jim Mickey and Nick Dimitri from Happy Leonard will join me live next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And next Friday, we have another great 90-minute show for you, kicking it off with Glenn Mazzara, one of the guiding forces behind the classic FX series The Shield and the beginnings of The Walking Dead on AMC. His latest project is Damien. It's the offshoot of the famed iconic movie franchise The Omen, and it will premiere a week from Monday on A&E, along with the season premiere of Bates Motel. Glenn Mazzara will be our lead guest. And then we'll follow it up with Chris Brancato. He was the former executive producer of Narcos, his first year last summer on Netflix, and now he's doing the new ABC series of Kings and Prophets, a biblical drama that was scheduled to go on the air this fall and then was pushed back because of all sorts of production deals. Chris Brancato will join us in his new role, and he'll speak to us about the show, which premieres in March on ABC. And finally, we'll find out what Scott Meslow, the entertainment editor of The Week magazine, TheWeek.com, has to say about how television has gone so far in 2016. What's his candidates for Best New Series so far this year? There are a lot of them out there, and we'll both talk about how we saw the Oscars on TV this past Sunday night. That's all coming up next Friday, special 90-day edition of the show, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Remember, if you came in late on today's program and you want to catch up on episodes you missed, and we've had quite a few in the last couple of weeks that have been real dandies, check out our homepage anytime. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also check out our podcast version. It's available on iTunes.com 24/7. You can download to your smartphone or tablet and take us on the go anytime you like. And if you haven't heard, we are now available on Apple TV 2.0 through the brand new iTunes podcast app. So if you have Apple TV 2.0 attached to your television set, you can hear and watch our show and other Blog Talk Radio programs through that set. Just go to Apple TV 2.0, click on the iTunes podcast app, get our show from there, and hear and watch us. That's available to you 24/7 at Apple TV. And I'll be back on Monday here in the New York area on BK Live, daily noontime talk show on BRIC TV. It's a great hour of Brooklyn news, lifestyle, live interviews, performances, culture, you name it, for Brooklyn and beyond. If you're in New York City, you can catch BRIC TV from noon to 1 o'clock on Verizon Fios anywhere in New York City, and you can catch it on cable systems in Brooklyn. That's Time Warner Cable, RCN, and Cablevision Systems. And you can also catch it online at www.BRICArtsMedia.org. And if you can't catch it live in New York or streamed online, don't worry. The segment and the episode is replayed at youtube.com/BRICTV. That's youtube.com/BRICTV. So check it out. We hope to make it worth your while every week. We do breaking news. We do previews of upcoming shows and trends in the TV world. And we have live guests, too, from time to time as well. So check out Brooklyn Community Television at its very, very best. It's B-Rick TV's BK Live, noon to 1 Eastern Time on B-Rick TV in the New York area and at BrickArtsMedia.org, and then tape delay on YouTube.com/B-Rick TV. That's YouTube.com/B-Rick TV. And if you have a question or comment for our upcoming guest, well, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 0491. We welcome guest 861 into the room, and Rick Webb, our good friend from Philadelphia, is still along for the ride as well. So definitely, definitely check it out. Coming up shortly, we will have a wonderful pair of guests, and they're involved in a brand new service that will be coming up before the end of the year called All Nations Network, and I think it'll be really something. It was about a year ago that we showcased what turned out to be the first television channel in the United States aimed at and programmed by Native Americans called FNX, First Nations Experience. That channel was made possible by a $6 million grant to a PBS station in San Bernardino, California, and it's been on the air ever since. If you want to catch that episode we did with one of the key executives at FNX, again, go to our homepage. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Or you can go to our iTunes podcast and download to your smartphone or tablet. So in the next few minutes, we will bring on the people from All Nations Network, and we do appreciate them being aboard today. By the way, I want to let you know that coming up in March, for our edition of the guest I mentioned for next Friday, we already have one episode already scheduled. We're happy to tell you that coming up on March 11th, we will have the executive producer and writer of a new miniseries that's premiering on Lifetime. It's based on one of the great classic mystery novels of all time, Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None. The executive producer and writer of that program, it's a four-hour miniseries, Sarah Phelps will join us. She was the writer of The Casual Vacancy, the HBO miniseries last year, based on the book by J.K. Rowling. Johnny Campbell, who was the director of that project, was on our show last spring. So Sarah Phelps wrote that, and she wrote And Then There Were None. It's the first time that this classic novel has been put together in a miniseries form. Some of you may remember the 1940s movie starring Louis Hayward, and some of you remember the very star-studded 1960s version called Ten Little Indians. Hugh O'Brien, Wyatt Earp himself, was among the players. We'll also bring back on the program someone we had on, oh, 7 years ago. He is the co-founder of a production company doing unscripted TV called 5x5. His name is Rick Greenbach, and his latest project is the new TBS game show premiering next month, Separation Anxiety. So that will also be happening right here. That's on March 11th. That is 2 weeks from today, right here. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And if you're listening to us for the very first time, I hope you'll make us a regular habit. We are with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And we think it's worth your while. We're the show all about television. We bring you great guests like the people we had on our first half hour from the Regal O'Neills, David Windsor and Casey Johnson. We bring you wonderful talents, producers, writers, directors of new TV shows. We bring you executives of new TV networks. We bring you some of the top people who cover the scene. And we bring you some tech people, too. And we focus on everything from diversity in the medium to smart TV sets to digital video recorders, all sorts of great stuff, even virtual reality on a TV set. We showcased recently Tony Mugavello, who is the head of a company called Little Star, that is putting virtual reality programming on a TV set through Apple TV. Incidentally, he'll be speaking next Wednesday at the Media Summit New York Conference taking place in Upper Manhattan. So we expect to have him, meet him face-to-face when that conference happens. That's from the folks at Digital Hollywood, their only conference this year in New York. It's all on virtual reality for the very first time. The thing is to see how people deal with the question of whether virtual reality works better on the television set or does it work on all these different devices, headgear, headphones, goggles, glasses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right, so now let's get to our second topic of the day. A new service is coming up before the end of the year called All Nations Network. And joining us live right now from Winnipeg, Canada, is one of the key organizers of that channel, Sky Bridges. Sky, welcome to the program.
Hello, it's awesome to be here. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And we hope to have joining us any moment the acclaimed filmmaker behind the popular independent feature Smoke Signals, who is also working on this project, Chris Iyer. Sky, how long has this All Nations project been in formation for?
How long has it been in work for?
Yes.
Well, this started to be conceptualized about a year and a half ago. We started off by doing some research and building a plan and kind of really solidifying our business plan about a year and a half ago. And over the last 6 months has been really the launch push, if you will, into making it a reality.
And what was the trigger point to announce it now and to go forward?
the plan to move forward on it?
Yes.
So essentially, what we are doing is we've had our first round of meetings with the distributors, which have gone very well, and we are gearing up for the next round of discussions, which is really about looking at the full market potential of this. You know, we as a channel, which already exists in Canada, we're ready to launch. It's just a matter now of determining what that carriage is going to look like.
What can you say at this point about the time frame of when this network will go on the air? Do we have a fixed date yet? Do we have at least a sense in mind as to when you premiere here?
That I can't share or talk about right now, but I have to say that because we are in those detailed discussions now around that, once those are done, then I can kind of share those details. But from an operating perspective, we are ready. We have the content available. We have the systems ready to go, and we have invested in having that so that whenever the time comes, it'll be a quick transition for a launch.
Sky, what do you hope this network, once it gets on, will do for the Native American population here in the United States? I know that it has been a long, long struggle to get a television presence apart from the occasional made-for-TV movie or the occasional miniseries. At one point, TNT did a series of movies and miniseries about the Native American experience and history. I mentioned FNX, the First Nation Experience, which is the first Native American network to go on in the United States, thanks to a PBS station grant. What do you hope to accomplish with this network? How do you hope it will impact the role that Native Americans play in television?
I'm going to talk about this in kind of twofold. One is from an industry point of view, and the other, of course, is for the audience. And up here in Canada, APTN has been around for 16 years. When we first started, the producer community for Native producers was around 6. Today, after 16 years, we work with over 100 Native producers. We have created an industry that creates high-quality content in multiple genres. So there is no doubt in my mind that as All Nations Network launches in the United States, it is going to help to invigorate that industry. Now, having said that, though, there are already excellent, amazing Native American producers in the States who are available to feed such a network. So it's also about leveraging that amazing talent pool, which one of them you have on the call right now with us, will be able to engage and create that amazing content. So it's really about leveraging that industry. And even beyond that, from the non-Native experience, you have some really high-profile producers who really want to see this channel come to the States. They would support it, and that feeds into the other part of what I want to cover is really about the audience, the Native American audience. Every single culture has something unique and special to share with the world. Now, when it comes with the Native American, it's really about what is on the top of minds of many people today. You cannot avoid opening up a major newspaper, news service, magazine, not talking about the issues around the environment, around living in balance with Mother Earth. This is something that is so integral to the Native American culture, and it's an opportunity to share that, and there is going to be a wide, diverse audience that can benefit from learning more about the culture of Native American people, and also from the point of view of historically. I mean, America has embraced and has amazing channels on other groups. It is now time to really be a part of something big and look at experiencing a channel like All Nations Network.
We are talking with Scott Bridges. He joins us live from Winnipeg, Canada, where they have had, for the last decade and a half plus, a Native American television network. And now they are trying to bring a similar service here to the United States called All Nations Network. The word surfaced about a week ago, and we are expecting to have on our line any moment Chris Iyer, the acclaimed filmmaker behind the independent feature Smoke Signals. Hard to believe that Smoke Signals was done almost 20 years ago. Really, really amazing. So we're coming up on the top of the hour. We hope to have Chris on momentarily. We'll have more with Sky, and we want to have you in the conversation too. So give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or join our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. We want to welcome guest 861. Your friend from Philadelphia is still in the room. We will be back with Sky. Hopefully Chris and I are joining us as well after we pause at the top of the hour, for web identification. You're catching Tomorrow Be Televised at www.blogtalkradio.com. It's the home of the best internet radio on the planet. 24/7 and more than 25 million listeners around the world every month. And growing. It's your home for the Michael Yo and Leo Show. Check them out with their unique brand of humor Monday nights, various times, right here on BTR. Remember, bet the BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com and check out BTR podcast available that you can watch and hear through Apple TV 2.0's brand new iTunes podcast app, available 24/7. Welcome back to the Marvy Televised this Friday afternoon in February 2016. And welcome to those who are just joining us at the top of the hour for the program All About Television. Simon Applebaum here. It is 37 degrees top of the hour here in New York. And we're talking about All Nations Network, the newest channel out to make a difference with Native Americans and people everywhere in the United States. Joining us live from Winnipeg, Canada, is one of the founders and organizers of the network, Sky Bridges. We hope to be joined shortly by Chris Iyer, the acclaimed filmmaker behind Smoke Signal. He's also done some television work as well for PBS and Broadcast TV. We hope to have him on the line very, very shortly. Sky, since word of your service broke last week, what kind of reaction have you gotten from the U.S. Native American entertainment community?
We have had a tremendous amount of support from the community. We have received tons of letters from various different Native American organizations, as well as from the grassroots community members, saying that this is a service that we want and is very much needed. And we've also heard from actors and actresses, both Native and non-Native American, saying that this is an important service that we really need to see come down. And, you know, we've seen so many articles even written recently and speeches delivered at the Oscars that talk about the importance of Native American having a space and being seen and being heard.
How fast are they coming with you with proposals? Like, I'd like to be involved with your network by doing this series, whether it's scripted series or this unscripted series. I know more contacts that can get you involved. Are you getting flooded right now with proposals of what people want to do?
Yeah, absolutely. We've heard from all different walks of life already since that. We've heard from everyone who wants to work for the service down there, from individuals who want to create content for us, who are looking at how can we get involved. I mean, it really is from every single level, from wanting to work at the network to wanting to produce content to the network to wanting to know how soon can we get this service.
You have a question or comment for Sky, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere. You're catching us across the country or around the world right here on Blog Talk Radio. We got a chat room going. It's been going ever since we started the show at 3 o'clock Eastern Time at noon Pacific. It's SimonApple04 at blogtalkradio.com. We've got people in the room already. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we hear you. And remember, while the phone is on the air, you can connect with others by using Facebook timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, other people can be live with you. Talk about the network that you currently run in Canada. What kind of schedule is it like? Is there sort of a method to how the channel's programmed?
Yeah, so the service up here in Canada, we run three different feeds on our standard definition, a Western, an Eastern, and a Northern feed in Canada, and we also run a HD high-definition channel. All of our feeds in the channels run 24 hours, and we have a diversity of content that is from independent Native producers, from dramas to documentaries to kids programming to language programming. We have about 15 different Native languages that we program in, and it's really something for everyone. Our market has for youth as well as adults and older. And I have to tell you, you know, the success of the channel up here in Canada, our ratings, when we look at it, some of our best rated shows, the reach is in the hundreds of thousands, 300,000 or 400,000. And the rating system up here in Canada does not break it out by ethnic group. So we know that our service is appealing to a lot of non-Native viewers, which is part of the success of the story of APTN up here, because there is just such a great interest in Native American culture.
Incidentally, for those of you just joining us, we are still waiting Chris Iyer. He is the acclaimed independent filmmaker behind Smoke Signals, other movies, as well as some TV programming. I remember his series he did for the PBS Mystery Series with Robert Redford a number of years back. And he is involved with this project as well. So, Chris, if you're hearing us, give us a ring. We'll get you on the air ASAP. That's 646-652-2906. I believe he's supposed to be joining us from New Mexico, where the network is going to be based. How is the network distributed in Canada? And will it be the same way here in the United States? Are you looking, for example, at broadcast carriage, cable operators, a smart TV set situation, or using devices like Roku, Chromecast, or a mix of everything?
So up in Canada, the model here is we are on satellite and cable distributors on basic packages here in Canada. So we have a 90% saturation of distribution in the market, and we also distribute and have our content available online, mobile devices. Our news service is available pretty much on any platform that you want, as well as on VOD services of the various different distributors, and our content is also available on VOD on the various different distributors. So the model that we'll be taking into the U.S. is a mass distribution on cable and satellite into mainstream, and that is the model that we do want to take there. So we're basically going to mirror the exact type here. And, you know, the reason for that, too, is about being able to produce high-quality content. In order to have a service that is successful as is here in Canada, we want to employ, and we will have that same model in the United States.
What early feedback are you getting from the cable operators here in the United States, as well as DirecTV, Dish, Google Fiber, CenturyLink, UVerse from AT&T, Verizon Fios TV, all the different players?
Very positive. We have met with all of the major distributors for the first round of discussions. You know, very positive from being told that this is one of the most interesting products that they've seen in a while, that they recognize that there is a value in it. As I mentioned, you know, earlier, so really the next step that we're at is we have set up our second round of meetings. We're really getting into the nitty-gritty of what this distribution and setup is going to look like. So I know that this is a service that is needed, wanted, and that there is a market for it. And there's no doubt from those first conversations, the fact that we're going into further, that is in fact seen by the distributors.
How much of your programming on the Canadian network is unscripted? How much is scripted? When it comes to scripted, what kind of subject matter is there?
So for scripted subject matter, we have everything. We have a great show that right now is our premiere being watched as Mohawk Girls. That is a drama series following the lives of Native American women, a little bit of a spin on a take, if you will, of Sex and the City, but from the perspective of the reality of Native American. And we also have some comedy shows as well that are scripted. Our last mega series that just winded down was Blackstone, and that was extremely popular here. And in fact, I know that it was being taken in the United States through various torrents and whatnot, that people really wanted it, and it had a huge success here, and I saw it making its way and bleeding into other markets. So, you know, not that we encourage that, but certainly it was flattering. We have comedy shows, as I mentioned, scripted, as well as documentaries, and there is unscripted. We do have shows that will follow, for example, Hit the Ice, which follows Aboriginal youth in hockey and kind of their journey towards trying to build a professional hockey career. We also have amazing television shows that look at the types of medicines that are used by traditional Native Americans, as well as looking at the various different traditional sites and what happened there across Turtle Island. There's also some great nature shows where we really look at how people were able to live and survive off of the land. I mean, it really is a channel that has something for everyone, and it really goes into the heart of learning about Native American tradition and taking it from there.
And I believe just joining us right now in a live interview exclusive is the acclaimed independent filmmaker behind Smoke Signals. He's also done work on PBS. I believe up to some segments of Friday Night Lights for NBC when I was on that network. It's a pleasure to welcome this program, Chris Iyer. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Why are you involved in this venture?
I'm involved in this venture for the same reason that I got involved in movies, I think, and television in the first place, which was there's an exemption of Native people in mass media, and I still think that's true to this day. You know, the first movie I made was Smoke Signals almost 20 years ago, and it got a commercial, theatrical, national release, and I still don't understand why it is that we don't have these commercial national releases of Native content. I'm dying to see contemporary Native people, eclectic Native people, diverse of Native people on screen. And it goes so far as I think that it has a direct influence on the way that our young people view themselves. You know, when you're exempt from mass media, I think it sends a powerful signal about your importance to the rest of society. And when you see things like UCLA did a study on diversity in the film industry, they didn't even chart Native Americans in their diversity chart. And so I think there's an epidemic, systematic problem when you talk about all the people that I think Sky was just talking about, that literally are touched by Turtle Island, Indian country, having Native blood. You know, we make up millions and millions of people. I mean, in the census, the number one attribute besides being Caucasian in America is Native American. And so I know that there's an audience out there that wants the diversity of understanding what Native America is in 2016, and that was my goal when I started filmmaking, and it's still my goal, which is to see Native people on screen and in mass media.
When Native Americans like yourself, Chris, have tried to put scripted or unscripted shows on the air, whether through broadcast, whether through cable, and now that we have this explosion of virtual programming that involves Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and so forth, is there one barrier that is preventing more of your population from getting involved with television, or is there like a set of barriers and like somebody like yourself hits this one head on or somebody else hits another one head on? Is there a sort of a commonality in terms of why we don't see up until this point, with rare exception, a lot of Native American talent doing their thing?
Well, I think unfortunately the thing that has to change, and that includes all of us, even Native people, is the perception of us in any other light other than historically or traditionally. You know, I'm both for historic and traditional values, but we also have an eclectic, diverse, progressive group of Native people that we really need to explore and show more of, because you know, as a Native person, I go through Canada and I go through the U.S. and I learn new things all the time about, you know, my fellow friends and peers, tribal members, communities. So it's a living culture. And I think the thing we need to move out of value is purely in historical light.
Mm-hmm. How are you going to be involved with All Nations? Do you plan to write or direct and produce a scripted series or an unscripted series for them? Are you going to be just a general advocate? What do you see your role with them?
I mean, I see my role, you know, depending on how they would like my role, you know, as an advocate for sure. But certainly as a producer and filmmaker, there are many ideas that a lot of us have to take Native content into the 21st century. And for me, that's all about making contemporary stories about Native people that I've met, that I know, and that I think are worthy of having movies and television stories told about them. You know, when you go into a Hollywood studio and you pitch a contemporary movie about Native people, they look at you and they say, but what's the movie about? And you don't see that with, you know, a movie like Silver Lining Playbook or American Hustle or anything. You know, why is it that these characters can't be Native and be part of a portion of society that we know as Native people has existed in certain pockets, and there are idiosyncrasies, and I'm interested in the stories that haven't been told, but I just keep saying the word contemporary because I myself am a little tired of, you know, the scripts that I've read where I know what's going to happen at the end, which is the Indians die romantically. And that's the paradigm of Hollywood, which is, you know, I get the script. They say, what do you think? I say, well, I knew what was going to happen at the end. They say, what do you mean? I said, the Indians die, right? And you romanticize the Indians dying. I think that has an effect. I think decade after decade of seeing that, that has an effect on our youth, our value, and I'm tired of seeing Indians die and people romanticizing it.
Sky, how did you and Chris meet?
I'm quite aware of Chris's work, and I was introduced to him through another colleague here at ABTN who is part of the team and making this come to reality. So, the stuff that he's worked on is iconic. I'm quite aware of him and his work, and I got to say it's an absolute pleasure to work with him and have him on our team. He is one creative and an extremely well-connected person who understands, you know, the importance of what it is that we are trying to achieve here.
All Nations Network is a new deal to try to get more Native American programming on a 24-hour basis to you across the United States and ultimately around the world as well. We've got Sky Bridges, one of the key organizers of the network, and also joining us, Chris Iyer, the acclaimed filmmaker of Smoke Signals, other films, and television episodes as well. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Is that my end cue? I didn't hear the end part.
Oh, no, that was not the end show. I was just about to say that for those of you listening on Blog Talk Radio, have a question or comment for either person or both, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple0498. You'll find it at blogtalkradio.com. Coming Monday on the program, Jim Mickey and Nick Nemici, they are the developers and executive producers of Happen Leonard at Sundance TV's first scripted series of 2016. Premieres next Wednesday night. Think of it as Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, in a very crimey noir style. They were both with it. I think Nick, might have been an actor on the first episode of Law & Order way back in the early 90s. We'll ask him if that, in fact, is the case. We'll also have former ESPN sports anchor Dan Debenham. He's now producing television shows rather than anchoring SportsCenter, and his latest project is Relative Race. It's a new series premiering this weekend on Brigham Young University, BYU-TV. Think of it as The Amazing Race with a genealogy touch. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Sky, first of all, Chris, what has been the feedback you've gotten from your fellow Native American filmmakers and video makers? What do they think about what All Nations wants to do?
We've gotten amazing support from people like Robert Redford and filmmaker Jim Jarmusch, you know, musicians, independent filmmakers that are Native, layman people. I think we had a campaign there where over 1,000 people on their own wrote letters of support towards the idea. So, I mean, the campaign has been, the syndication for the story that we had, I think, is in the hundreds in all major publications. So the support has been great. And I'll be at the End of Beard Awards tomorrow night in Los Angeles. I know that the conversations around diversity in the industry, I think it's important that Native people have a presence this year especially, and then the Oscars are Sunday night, and I just think that it's important that people see Native representation in the film industry, especially this year.
Scott, what do you think about the timing of the network, given that in the last 2 weeks, especially in light of the Oscars coming up Sunday night, we are seeing maybe an acceleration of efforts to expand diversity. We had National Urban League President Mark Morrell on this program on President's Day. He is trying to tie in getting more diverse television along with what he's trying to do with the studios post-Oscars. We had on Monday We for She. It's an effort to try to encourage more women and women of color to direct and produce and write television shows. There's also an effort coming up called Made by Women, which involves some of the key women directors currently on television. We mentioned earlier about Anthony Hemingway from American Crime Story. Ryan Murphy, who runs that series, has now put out a project called Half. He's committed that half of the episodes of his TV shows, whether it's American Crime Story, American Horror Story, Scream Queens, etc., are directed by women and people of color. It seems that you could not have picked a better time to announce yourself.
You know, I got to say, it's like one of those times of those expressions where the stars are aligning. And, you know, not to, I have to say, and we joke around it about here, but, you know, sky's the limit, right? And now is the time. And I said, you know, we've been planning this and building the strategy so it's solid about a year and a half ago. So this has been a long time coming from our end. And now that we're doing, you know, the final push in and just seeing, you just took the words right out of my mouth in terms of really capturing a snapshot of what's happening in the industry right now, the timing is bang on. And it is just an amazing opportunity. I mean, even from an audience point of view, as I said, you know, the gift that a Native American people have in terms of the way that they see the world, in wanting to live in balance with Mother Earth, the types of wisdoms and the things that they want to share is of benefit to everyone. And, you know, I can tell you from experience up here in Canada with the content that we've had around it, the enlightenment and the understanding. I mean, part of it is, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And the kind of the expectation when APTN first launched was really from that point of view. They didn't understand it. They didn't get it, and they thought it was going to be an interesting social experiment is what, you know, they said in the beginning. But here we are 16 years later, and we are a respected member of the industry. We have worked collaboratively with many of the major broadcasters for content. We are been working with other industries around the world in indigenous programming, and the timing in the United States is just absolutely perfect. And what you're going to find when this launches is people are going to be surprised, and in a very positive way. And for our own people, it's about lifting them up. It's about having them be visible. It's about opportunity, and it's really about moving forward on something that is going to be nothing but a benefit for everyone involved.
How will the channel be supported? Will it be funded with advertised support as well as perhaps some sort of fee that the cable operator pays? And what about maybe trying to get, let's say, for individual shows that want to get produced, venture capital funding or even go crowdfunding, as some people are now doing to try to get individual TV shows on the air?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, certainly the model that we are going to employ is going to be the model up here, which is a mixture of the fee plus advertising. And, of course, we would look at exhausting any other opportunities. I mean, that's the nature and the state of the industry right now is you have very many different types of mix of possible funding models from, you know, product placement to crowd surfing to foundations. And so, I mean, we will look at and employ all of those opportunities and exhaust them as we do here in Canada. And I mean, that's part of that's exciting in the business right now, right? You know, we're in a flux. There's a lot of change in the industry, but I see that as nothing but also opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Chris, where does this leave you? And where do you think this will lead? Is there reason to hope now that maybe with all this acceleration of ventures to try to encourage more women and people of color, Native Americans included, into the industry? The FCC, by the way, Federal Trade Commission, is now touching on, they're now doing a diversity study, which I thought was very underreported because of other things. But where does this leave you in terms of, are you more optimistic now that we're going to see a huge renaissance in terms of Native American television in the medium? Where does this all leave you?
I hope so. I mean, that's always been, you know, kind of my personal goal. I mean, when Smoke Signals came out, people said it was going to, you know, cause a ripple effect of Native filmmakers being allowed to make movies, and it didn't quite have that big of impact on the industry for whatever reason. But this is a second opportunity with All Nations Network. I mean, this is another opportunity, and like Sky said, sky's the limit, which I think, Sky, that was a good one. I do think this is an opportunity that is serendipitous and not to be missed. You know, it's about diversity, and diversity means that as Native people, we are not all monolithic. We're not all, you know, the same. We speak different languages, come from different economics, different dislocations, different traditions, you know, different resources. And so, you know, that's what's interesting to me about Native America, is that not only are we Americans, which are complicated people, I think Native Americans, with the overlay of being Native American plus American, are probably the most complicated group of Americans we have. And so with that, the content is certainly there to open people's eyes to things that they haven't seen before. And this is just a second opportunity, which I think, like Sky said, is just serendipitous that it's coming during this conversation. You know, the conversation about the Oscars, you know, has been primarily a black-white conversation, and, you know, that kind of flies in the face of diversity in and of itself, which is ironic. There was a piece in the New York Times a couple days ago where they interviewed 20 people what it's like not to be white in Hollywood, and there was no inclusion of a Native person at all. And so, you know, we're trying to break this wall of being invisible in this industry and in mass media. When you talk about having Native people in movies, you know, they're casting a new movie called Jamestown, which is, you know, on the East Coast historical, you know, movie. Or you take The Revenant. I think that these actors that are Native, that are from tribal communities, that look Native and are wanted to be seen as Native, I think they're premiums. I think they should actually be paid more for what they give and contribute to the productions. And that's what every other, you know, industry and group of people have done, is maximize, you know, their potential. And that's kind of where, you know, we need to be as Native Americans. So, you know,
Chris, I unfortunately have to cut things off because we're running short of time. So that will have to be the last point. If you want to see what this network is going to be all about, here's where you can take a look at the prototype network that's currently running in Canada. And here's where it is online, www.aptn.ca. That's www.aptn.ca. And Scott and Chris, I promise you that when the network is ready to go on there, we would love to have you both back on. Sky Britt is the organizer of All Nations Network. Chris Iyer, Smoke Signals, and so much more. Thank you both for coming on. Pleasure to have you both on. All the very best getting this venture off the ground, and let's have you back.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care. All the greatest. Have a great weekend.
Blessings.
Sky Bridges and Chris Iyer joining us live this half hour on Tomorrow We Tell Live. Coming Monday on the program, we will have from Happenland on Sundance TV, producers Jim Mickey and Nick DiMicci, and former ESPN sports director Dan Debenham now doing Relative Race on BYU TV premieres this weekend. And next Friday on the program, we will have Glenn Lazar from Damien, Chris Brancato from Kings and Prophets, and the Week Entertainment editor Scott Merlo. Remember, if you missed part of this episode, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, www.blogsobre.com/televised. Check out the podcast version at iTunes.com. Follow us on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBC Simon, DWBT. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not through those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate, Amy Mexico, and Candace Williams. Any show is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator and chief executive of this enterprise, Mr. Al Levy. Tomorrow We Tell Live is brought to you by Audible.com, leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information, and Amazon.com company. For Tomorrow We Tell Live, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. We're back Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where? Blog Talk Radio. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.